enough for that. And you could see that this is a colloquium on very, very interesting technology, the technology that is finding a widespread applications in automobiles, in power electronics, and every area that has been really captured by the power electronics. So instantly, the other day I was reading somewhere an interesting kind of observation. In 1950s, it seems the amount of electronics that is in a car, in an automobile, used to cost about 1% of total cost of the car in 1950s. And today, people talk about 30% of the cost of a modern car actually goes to electronics. And so that is the kind of way things are getting transformed and we use, not just for luxury, safety, comfort, whatever, but then you will actually today probably demonstrate this very, I wouldn't say very emerging, but recent research monograph titled Design of Transient Protection Systems including Supercapacitor Based Designs for Surge Protectors was just published by Elsevier just end of last year, in fact December 2018. He was winner of New Zealand Innovator of the Year 2013 awards. He has quite many other awards as well. He graduated in 1976 and worked initially as an aviation ground electronics engineer and in digital telephone exchange systems. In 1985, he joined the Arthur C. Clarke Institute of Modern Technologies as an R&D engineer and was appointed the director CEO in 2000. And from 2002 to 5, he was a senior lecturer at the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering, University of Auckland. In 2014, he was appointed the vice chair of the DC Energy Efficiency Committee of IEEE. Okay, so IEEE, of course, is a I don't have to say to this audience, it's a 430,000 members body, which is the world's largest professional body. Power electronics is one of the major thrust areas of IEEE body. Nihal is a fellow of IET, fellow of IPNZ and New Zealand, that is, and a senior member of IEEE, and a graduate from University of Ceylon in 1976. So he basically comes from Ceylon, our friendly country. Is presently employed as an associate professor in the University of Engineering, the University of Waikato, New Zealand. So, of course, if I keep talking about him, it takes another half an hour, but I would like to give rest of the time to Nihal for his very interesting colloquium. Nihal, it's all for you now.
Thank you very much, Dr. Satyanarayana, and it's a pleasure to be here visiting. In fact, at this moment, I should remind somebody who introduced me to this institute. It was a lady called Dr. Punita Punya who visited me about 4 or 5 months back to my office at even very short notice, and then she talked about this institute, and then she said when I return back, I will introduce you to the staff of the scientific staff of the institute, and it has happened, so I am here within less than 5 months. And happy to be in Mumbai, and I've been to Mumbai a long time back, but this is after about 25-30 years spending 2 days. So it's a lot of changes I've seen in this city. Basically, most of my talk is about designing circuits using. You an idea of the comparison between about the normal capacitors and the super capacitor. When we were in the electrical engineering school, we were told don't expect any capacitor to be anything more than several thousand microfarads. And so we trusted that I trusted that until late 90s. Then all of a sudden, when I was back home in my home country, Sri Lanka, I got some samples of the very early versions of supercapacitors, which were having the values of about 1 to 2 farads, not microfarads. So then from there, these capacitors have developed commercially in a very, very big way. And just a comparison, but I am just circulating it. So actually, on the bottom here, these are the pretty standard microfarad for electrolytic type capacitor. And for each capacitor, I have calculated the approximate energy content capable. And then just listed them. And here I have taken similar size supercapacitors for you to compare, and just these numbers are the energy storable in each case. So it's about 20 times usually bigger. It could be much higher in larger cases. Now, if you look at the normal capacitors, you have the values from about picofarads to 100,000 microfarads, like from about four types: film, multilayer ceramic, tantalum, aluminium electrolytic, etc. Then, if you look at these electrolytic capacitors, their operating voltage could be anything from few volts to several thousand volts in general, and this is in all our electronics. So now, how do I summarize supercapacitors? Typically, there we get approximately 1 million times larger capacitor for the same volume of the can. That's what you will see on this board I circulate. Okay, now supercapacitors came into existence as an early trial to replace small batteries, and then to compare energy storage devices. We all know this very well-known plot called Ragon plot. On the vertical axis, you have the energy per kilogram or energy per liter. On the horizontal axis, you have the power in watts per kilogram or watts per liter. Now, this is in kilograms. Now, on this chart, if you look at fuel cells, I have the top, but power density-wise, very small. This is why practically, though the fuel cells could have very large energy storage possible, but they are not practically usable in effective systems driven by power electronics because power density is so small. So this is one of the barriers for fuel cell driven cars. Still within the last 20 years, they were struggling, including big companies. Then if you look at our commonly available rechargeable chemistries of batteries, lead acid to nickel cadmium to lithium, they are about say one order to two orders less energy density, but their power density is about one to two orders higher than fuel cells. Then your normal electrolytic or aluminium electrolytic capacitors reside on this bottom end, but their energy density is pretty small. Then you are in the middle of this chart called the electric double layer capacitors. Sometimes they are called supercapacitors, ultra capacitors, or various other commercial names sometimes. So what is the difference between these things for a circuit designer? If you take a simple disposable or a rechargeable battery, when the battery keeps discharging, your internal resistance of the device keep generally exponentially increasing with the age and the rate of discharge. But if you look at a supercapacitor, its internal resistance is relatively constant. So now if you look at simple mathematics of a circuit, you will know the maximum power capability is about rated voltage squared divided by 4 times the internal resistance. That's the maximum you can push into a circuit from an energy storage device based on its terminal voltage. So if you start with a simple energizer pen light type battery, starting with about 100 milliohms here, when the battery is not discharged, but when you are almost 90%, it's about 7 times higher. So what you see is, with the battery is discharged, its power delivery capability is becoming very, very low. So this is why in most of the electric cars, still they are struggling a lot, because when the battery pack keeps discharging, your delivery capability also becomes less, so you can't accelerate the car easily. So now in most of the modern cars, they are practically mixing small affordable banks of supercapacitors for that power density capability be used for acceleration only, but then for constant speed your battery pack comes in. Okay, just a summary: supercapacitors have constant and very low ESR. And now here in this chart, I'm comparing some microfarads or the large capacitors with voltages up to about, say, 200 volts, indicating how much short circuit current can be driven by these things and internal resistance. Now what you will see is, if you look at 2200 microfarads power supply capacitor with 50 volts, it could have a short circuit current of about 700 amperes because its internal resistance is 70 milliohms. But if you take 350 farads medium sized supercapacitor, which has only 2.7 volts rating, it can give you about little bit more than that short circuit current capability, because it has very small internal resistance. So this is just a comparison. Actually, most of these things are in various publications with my name as a co-author, either in IEEE, IET or other databases. Okay, now what is internally an electric double layer capacitor is, it has two electrodes with usually activated carbon deposited with a separator in the middle. Electrolyte is impregnated into this separator, and you have another electrode. So you have two capacitors in series with the internal resistance represented by this resistor. So your actual supercapacitors are basically two practical capacitors formed inside this one. So I mean, there may be physicists here who knows much more about the internal physics of these things than me, so I'm not going to discuss anything more here on this one. I'll just slowly switch on to the applications. Now if you look at traditional capacitors, supercapacitors versus batteries here, these things can deliver more power per kilogram or watts per liter, whereas batteries can deliver very high watt hours or joules per liter. Now, interestingly, within the last 7-8 years, something very interesting happened. Now, if you look at, now this is a 3000 farads electric double layer symmetric capacitor based on two activated carbon electrodes, 3000 farads, but the weakness of these things are they are very low DC voltage per cell. If you want a capacitor bank of say 100 volts, you have to put about 40 of them in series. So that is the issue. Now if you look at, this is what we had up to about 2005 or 2006. Around 2012 or 13, some companies started developing half activated carbon based electrode. The other half is a lithium titanate, which is borrowed from the lithium ion battery. So this is a hybrid supercapacitor. The difference is from 3000 farads to 7500 farads, same can. So, actually, I'm just having a small demonstration for you about this power capability of a capacitor of this size, about 3000 farads. Actually, what I do when I travel around the world delivering these things, I carry a 9 volt disposable lantern battery and I connect one of these 3000 farad capacitors to the battery while I'll start discussion. After about 30 to 35 minutes, I will see that the capacitor comes to about 2.6 to 0.7 volts. Then what this can do with just 2.7 volts, I'll show you in about another 10 minutes while I do the lecture. So now the difference is from 2005, 2006 to 2015, like 2.5 times capacitance increase on the commercial supercapacitors. Then last year when I was in the Applied Power Electronics trade show and the conference, actually I was delivering this lecture for the industry session. So one of the trade show partners, a Korean company, Samwa Electric, they showed me this supercapacitor. Actually, this is what you call the CAPA battery. Supercapacitor mixed with the lithium ion battery technology. This is 40,000 farads. So same can, same manufacturing process. Over the years, within less than 10 years, you have increased the capacitance by 13 to 14 times. The voltage rating has increased only about 0.2 volts capable. Okay. In hybrid capacitors, half is lithium electrode. So you have two unsymmetrical capacitors giving you the combined this thing. And the difference is, these things are generally 500,000. The standard asymmetric supercaps are about 500,000 to 1,000,000 life cycle. When you put half lithium electrode, lithium titanate, life cycle drops to still 50,000. This is about 20 to 30,000. But still, if you compare with a lithium ion battery of 2,000 full charge discharge cycles, these things are still all versions fit and forget in electricals. Okay. Now this is a more up-to-date Raygon plot indicating all these newer types of battery chemistries and hybrid capacitors and all that. See, hybrid capacitors are about 1 to 2 order higher energy density. Power density still in the same area like asymmetric supercapacitors. Okay, now if you look at these several samples compared with some rechargeable lithium ions, disposable AA cell, C-type cell, etc., we show the amount of joules you can store in a 3000 farad asymmetric capacitor. You have about 10.9 kilojoules. So the maximum possible power is about 6 kilowatts from each capacitor. So then if you go to electrolytic capacitor of 2250 volts, you can store only 2.75 joules, but it can give for a moment, microseconds order time, 8 to 9 kilowatts. Then you go to hybrid capacitor of that type, you get about 3 times that energy, 1/3 of the power capability. But if you look at these ones, this disposable battery will have about 4 times the energy of that 3000 farad capacitor, but its maximum possible power output is less than 2 watts. So lithium ion cell of 3.4 amps, 18500 type cell, is about 11 same joules, but this can deliver only about 65 watts. So this is the difference between batteries and all these types. Okay, now life cycle wise, lithium batteries are very small. Supercapacitors can go up to 1,000,000 life cycle. Hybrid capacitors more than 10 to 20,000 cycles. Okay, Now let me slowly go into the traditional applications of supercapacitors. In general, the supercapacitors have much less energy density, twice that 42% efficiency, which is 84% theoretically. So half the time you don't have to connect the input power supply because the capacitor can be connected in series. So actually the simple linear regulator, what we did was, instead of putting a resistor here, you put a capacitor, and we made a linear regulator structure which is almost close to, or it could be equal to, switch mode power supplies. And nobody has ever thought of this technique, and we filed the patent, not we means my university filed the patent on behalf of our, we got the patent in no time, US patent, because nobody has ever thought of it, right? So if you really, the beauty of this little simple research was, we have extended the very simple RC circuit we learn in our first or second year physics or engineering. I'll show you, all my next set of applications are all extensions of that RC circuit in different ways. Okay, now what made us think of doing this? Why did we think of linear regulators? If you pull out your cellular phone, every cellular phone you use in your pocket carries several linear regulators inside. Why? Because switch modes cannot meet the noise specifications of various analog to digital or RF circuits. So for that reason, almost all the switch mode stages inside is buffered by a linear regulator called the low dropout regulator. So actually what we found was, in almost 2006-2007, we looked at the market search reports and found that similar quantity as the switching regulators, they sell linear regulator chips, which is in the form of low dropout regulators, right? So for that reason, we felt, okay, doing this research is not wasted, because coming from the industry to academia, whenever I try to do any project, I ask one basic question: where is the business? Because if you can't do anything commercially useful, it is going to be end up in a paper. You can be very proud of your papers, but nothing else happens. So I didn't like that kind of a career with me or my team of PhD students. Right, okay. So we found in portable products, they sell in equal amounts, even predicted up to 2014 in 2000 from 6 like. So now, why switch modes are so tricky? Because if you take a switch mode power supply fed from the 230 volts AC down to the DC, each stage inside the thing wastes about 1 to 3, 4% energy, and ultimately which makes the overall this thing in high 80s or mid 80s like. So in all these things, there are 6 different types of losses. In our technique called supercapacitor assisted low dropout regulators, CALDO, we have only 3 types of basic losses, not high frequency switching losses, because your switching frequency is in the millihertz to fractional hertz order. Okay, this is the basic concept re-explained, and actually this is one of our first PhD students' success stories. We took a linear regulator LDO of this efficiency per input voltage. When we put our technique, this is what we got. You see double the efficiency. And within the last 1 year, University of Southampton's IC engineering group came forward, because Professor Bill Redmond White, the chief of IC engineering, he saw this technique. He said, okay, we are ready to do the chip. So he developed this chip. And in fact, this is right now, we are waiting for the delivery from the AMS fab in Austria to test this chip. So all what we try to say is, SCALDO is implementable on silicon. Right, okay. So SCALDO can be applied to different input-output voltages as far as so your technique.
I'm going to say a few words later about the, how you actually integrate a large capacitance inside a typical chip.
Okay. Okay, now I will just give the answer now itself. Feel free to ask questions from me, that's fine. Actually, we are not putting the supercapacitor inside the chip. We do the chip. Actually, what happens is even in all low dropout regulator based practical circuits, there are several capacitors externally, because even 10 microfarad, 100 microfarad level capacitors cannot be integrated. So supercapacitors, they can integrate, I think, up to about 0.1 millifarad maximum. That is also not mass scale. So in this one, all the switches, low frequencies, four switches there, and the controller, LDO, everything is on silicon except the supercapacitor and the buffer capacitor, basically. Okay, so SCALDO can be applied to high current power supplies. That's another PhD which we completed later. That is for the voltage regulator module systems used in laptops and so on. Right, now we are into the positive negative rail power supplies in another PhD in another New Zealand university, where my first SCALDO student is academic in another university. There she is continuing this research. So I'm not going to go into details because of the time. So this is actually 12 to plus or minus 5 volts, 80 plus efficiency dual rail power supply based on SCALDO. So switching frequency of this one is less than 1 hertz, not high frequency. So RFI-ME problem is not there, right? And the other thing is, by oversizing the supercapacitor, you can add DC UPS capability within the converter. Okay, so that is this 12 to 5 SCALDO regulator, various things. Okay, now, because I mentioned our techniques are based on simple RC circuit. All what we know is, if you have a resistor capacitor loop, series loop, powered by a DC voltage source, if the capacitor starts from zero to the rated voltage of the power supply, it stores half CV squared. During that charging time, resistor dissipates the same energy, half CV squared. So it is only 50% efficient. Okay, what do we do? If you insert a useful resistor into the loop, like a heater, DC-DC converter, inverter, LED light, anything, what happens? That half CV squared waste is consumed by the useful load. But this had never been thought of by even any physicists or any circuit design engineers. So from there, I think we jumped into SCALDO technique and we achieved some serious success. And, okay, yes. Yes, okay.
Is that a separate circuit?
No. Actually, what happens is most of the LDOs can withstand a higher input voltage for a short period of time until the supercapacitor charges. For example, if you take a 6 to 5 volt LDO, it is easily designed to work up to, say, 13, 14 volts for about a fraction of a minute or something. During that time, when the supercapacitor pre-charges, then keeps doing on and off. You don't need a separate circuit. Sorry?
What is the typical charging time for a supercapacitor?
It depends on the capacitor size. In the SCALDO, we are putting about 1 farad to 10 farad capacitors, not this size of capacitors. So generally within about fraction of a second to a second, like, circuit stabilizes. Right. Okay. Now, interestingly, almost all supercapacitors you see on that circuit board, or what is here, single cell voltage is 2.7 volts. Do you think these things can withstand several thousand volts, like transient voltage induced on your power line due to a lightning or a surge? I mean, supercapacitor manufacturers don't let you use these for that transient voltages, because nobody has tested. But when we looked at the RC circuit, we found theoretically there's a possibility. Then, but we didn't know if you apply a short term, 10 to 50 microseconds long, lightning type surge, say up to 5,000-6,000, are we damaging the capacitor, supercapacitor? Are we charging that beyond 2.7 volts? The answers we got in our laboratory testing was no, supercapacitors can withstand lightning like short term very high voltages. Okay, so then from there we developed another PhD project to come up with this patented technique called SCASA, supercapacitor assisted surge absorber. Okay, so what we did around 2007-2008, we got once again RC circuit, right? Think of this, R 1 ohm, C 1 microfarad, your time constant is 1 microfarad. So your capacitor will charge to the power supply voltage within 5 time constant, which is 5 microseconds. But if you change the capacitor value from 1 microfarad to 1 farad, your time constant become 1 second. So the capacitor will take 5 seconds to charge. So if your lightning, which is typically lasting 20 to 100 microseconds maximum, during that time, your capacitor will never get charged to its DC rated voltage. So during that time, that R dissipates almost 90% of that surge energy. So this has never been thought of by anybody. So we started looking at that circuit in various ways, and here is the explanation. So if your voltage, DC voltage, stays for a short while, your capacitor will stop charging here. So if this is say very short period, where this is about several seconds time constant of a supercapacitor circuit, capacitor will never get damaged. Then what we did was, we took three different commercial companies supercapacitors. We had developed a high voltage test lab in my university, which can go up to 15 kilovolts with three lightning surge simulators installed. So we tested these things and we published this IEEE paper. This is the very first IEEE paper on surge capability of supercapacitors. After this was published, we were brave enough to go into develop a supercapacitor based surge absorber. So, lot of details are here. I will not go through those ones for the reasons of time. All what we try to say is, if you apply a supercapacitor of about 120 farads or less than 1 farad, if you keep pumping say 6 kilovolts type surges, the capacitor will not even charge after even 20 surges to 160 millivolts or so. So it never reaches the rated voltage. So you can use them in a very creative surge protector. So we hired another PhD student, gave the project, challenged him, do it, you get a patent. So we got this. Other things we saw, surge resistance UPSs, and this supercapacitor assisted surge absorber technique was an outcome. Okay, so basically, just to give you an introduction, if you have a 230 volts mains, when you have lightning induced, these voltages can go up to several thousand volts. So this comes in differential and common mode when you have an active, neutral and the ground, three terminals in your plug socket. So now standard surge protectors are like this, with metal oxide varistors, bidirectional breakover diodes, inductors and capacitors, pretty standard historical circuits. All the companies developing surge protectors or adding surge protection to basic circuit to use these kinds of techniques. So what we did was, instead of using only these nonlinear devices of metal oxide varistors or bidirectional breakover diodes, we took supercapacitors and came up with a very simple concept, which is a coupled inductor or a transformer like powdered metal core, one metal oxide varistor and a supercapacitor or supercapacitor plus resistor, any one of these possible subcircuits. This simple circuit containing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6 components, we filed patents. Patents were granted worldwide. Why? Nobody ever thought of this, right? This is the practical value of supercapacitors when a capacitor for the same can size becomes 1 million times larger. So, I think sometimes I tell my PhD students group, we should have some good star also as a team. Because I mean, that's why we were brave enough to go into these techniques. Okay, now this is what we did ultimately. An Australian company, Thor Technologies, came forward and told us, okay, develop a commercial version for indoor large scale TVs like these things, a differential mode only protector. Then what we did was, we developed over a 3-year project in a PhD student. This is the black line is the remaining voltage, or what you call the clamping voltage, versus existing commercial surge protectors, which is about 200 to 300 volts more than our product. So we came up with the product. This is sold in the market. You can go to Smart TV IQ Squared Thor Technologies. You will see all the details of this product. So this is, I think, within, while we were developing the technique, this company developed the product also. So this is commercially manufactured. Right now, American Jasco, APC and Schneider Electric like people have got interested in this one. So this Thor Technologies managing director had recently visited US to discuss the collaboration on these ones. So simple circuits practically developed has given us some very good success. Okay. This is a summary of what, and also what you see is component wise in our thing it's much less, and in fact recently we did all the underwriters laboratories 1449 standard based worst case endurance test specified UL to this product, because we wanted to prove that it's a good product to Schneider, APC and Jasco, etc. We did this and we found no component is getting degraded at all. In normal surge protectors, they get degraded every time, because supercapacitor absorbs certain amount of extra surge getting into the MOV, so this is safeguarded. Okay, another SCAR technique, supercapacitor assisted temperature modification apparatus, because in the countries where there is a severe winter, you always need hot water. But when you have a hot water supply in your kitchen or the bathroom, you open the hot water line and wait for about a minute until the cold water in the pipelines get flushed. So you are wasting about 1 to 2 liters every time you open the tap. So now if we thought, why can't we have a very fast heater next to the tap and heat it? Then we found you can't bring 230 volts mains next to the water line, safety reasons. Second thing is your plug socket can give you only up to 2.5 kilowatts. So to do that quickly, we need about 10 to 20 kilowatts of power. Then what we found was, take about 15, 16 of these ones, make a bank, fit it under the bathroom vanity or the kitchen sink, have a control circuit, pre-charge the capacitor bank, then dump that energy based on that supercapacitor. Why? They have that very high power density. Okay, good point to show you the I had forgotten one terminal loss all the time on. Right, okay, it has overcharged even, it has not got damaged, right? Right, now this capacitor, I'm going to show you what we do. 3.1, actually you should have been not charged beyond that one. So the principle used in this particular technique, SCATMA, is demonstrated here. Smoke detectors here. See, I can cut and drill the metal for about a minute or two. one 2.7 volts source pre-charged from a battery or a power supply. Actually, the actual demonstration I do in various trade shows or conferences is that I don't use a power supply. I bring a 6 volts disposable lantern battery, and while I do this, I keep short circuiting the battery with the capacitor. So in about 40 minutes, it comes to about 2.7 volts, then I do this demonstration. This time I bought 3 batteries because I'm visiting about 6-7 institutions in India. Singapore Airlines have opened my bag and thrown my 3 batteries off.
But with a note.
With a note, yes, yes. That's nice of them. Okay. Sorry? Yes, yes. Actually, it has traveled with me to Japan, US, France, so many countries in the world. Never it was thrown off. They have opened my bag and inspected, because supercapacitors are not considered dangerous like lithium ion. Though high power density, energy density is much lower, and they don't have the flammability of lithium ion. So they are very safe. So anyway, they let me bring this back in my suitcase this time. Right. Okay, this is what we had done in this technique. We placed 2 or 3 20 kilowatts capable heater coils in the last half meter of piping, and you place 2 or 3 supercapacitor banks. You can do it 1 or 2. Then 30 volts only capacitor bank charge, so that it's a safe extra low voltage, no electrical hazard next to the pipeline. So this allows you to get your water instantaneously heated. Instantaneous means within 5 to 10 seconds, not a minute delay. So this was also patented by us. So actually, in all these techniques, there's a lot more to be done with collaboration and so on. Right. So this is that laboratory prototype we built. See, this is the water line with the heater coils, and this is the supercapacitor bank of 16 these type of capacitors. And then we made this particular system. Actually, when we were developing it, we had only this type of supercapacitors. At that time, because of the life cycle and the cost of the package, we were told by Rinnai, if your product is going to cost more than $500, don't develop it, it cannot be sold. So then we had to add a small rechargeable battery for the second part. But by the time we finished it, we had 7,500 capacitors for the same one, where we can get rid of the battery pack. So this is the beauty of commercial development. Right, okay. Now, from there, we have another technique called supercapacitor assisted high density inverter, SCADI, supercapacitor assisted high density inverter. This was inspired by the Google Little Box Challenge. And then we have another technique called supercapacitor assisted LED lighting for DC microgrids. So this is all for renewable energy applications, where you, for short term fluctuations of solar or wind, supercapacitor bank does the job without a battery bank. Long term, you require a battery bank or any other energy storage source. So actually, this Scarlett system is now, we have a pilot project going on in ports of Auckland in New Zealand in a container for lighting. So there, the beauty of this whole things I show is based on this simple first year circuit, RC circuit, right? In one place, you put a linear regulator, inverter, or a LED light as the resistive load to use that wasted energy in charging a capacitor. In the capacitor, we flush the microfarad capacitor by a capacitor bank or single cell supercapacitor. So all this is basically has given us so much of new technique, all based on basic electrical physics textbook theory of RC circuit. We call this the loss circumvention theory. So, and this high density inverter is where you take a standard 480 volts DC renewable inverter, giving 240 volts AC into 4 micro inverters and you put four super capacitor banks where you switch these things on and off. At this point, this is an inverter. At this point, these capacitors. So once again, you extend this to this technique. This is a PhD ongoing in Auckland University technology, which is co-supervised by me. So okay, in conclusion, all what I can say is when a capacitor becomes 1 million times larger, it can be creatively used for new circuit topologies and technique. These techniques can be in power converters, surge protectors, rapid heating of fluids, inverters, DC microgrid type circuits, car LED and so on, right? And in fact, what we found was all what we had done about 6-7 techniques with about 20 patents filed by my university is only the tip of the iceberg. There is so much of creativity available for supercapacitor based circuits. Okay, we invite all the people we meet, okay, do this, you will enjoy this. Thank you, any questions? Have I done enough?
Absolutely.
Correct,
yes.
Time?
Okay, right.
Thank you.
Not only technologically informative but also very inspiring lecture, just to kind of what you have been saying, that all that requires is a very simple thought on maybe first year undergraduate electrical engineering.
In fact, if I add something to what he just said, whenever a new PhD student comes into my team, I tell them one thing. First 2 months, you go back to the lab and develop simple basic circuits, build it, test it, from specification to test results. Until you do that, I'm not going to touch anything on simulation analysis, nothing. Then halfway through the project, you bring simulators, analysis and all that, then fine tune these circuits. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, of course, we typically have this habit of starting so you get disconnected from reality right away.
You are talking about the cost of supercapacitors. Actually, the size of those capacitors I circulated in this example board, they are almost little bit more than probably a normal electrolytic capacitor, the same can size. When you come to these ones, about 3000 farad capacitor, single price is about $30. But if you buy millions of these things for automotive industry like places, these things may cost about, say, $10-$12 each. I mean, actually what we found was when we were developing these things, our commercial arm was talking to manufacturers of supercapacitors. What they said was from 2013 price of supercapacitors to 2020, price will drop by 50%. Actually speaking, he mentioned this 30% price you pay in cars for electronics. Now, if you have most of the new cars with this start-stop function, eco function, in most of the newer cars came after about 2010-11, every car has a supercapacitor bank. When you push the brake, when the engine stalls, you don't re-crank the battery by the battery, 12-volt battery. It's a supercapacitor bank coming into play, 15 volts. So with that one, price of supercapacitors are very fast dropping. No, actually what happens is, no, single cell capability is very gradually increasing. With the lithium mixed ones, you can go up to about 4 volts now.
Oh.
But if you want, say, 120 volts DC bank,
yes,
you put them in series. These are what you call supercapacitor modules. In fact, I had another slide in some other place to show supercapacitor modules. Actually, what happens is, now for truck starting, there are supercapacitor modules. The difference is most of the lead acid batteries will freeze during the winter, severe winter. Supercapacitors can go further minus 20 volts down. So with that one, they have Maxwell-like companies do truck starters. But they are supercapacitor modules. Have I answered you?
Yes.
I mean, I
Okay, to give you more details, I am not an electrochemist. All that I understand is from symmetric double layer capacitors where both electrodes are identical, aluminium foil is deposited with activated carbon, either side same. Here what they do is one electrode is removed and they put, like in a lithium battery's cathode, lithium titanate electrode. So half of that is borrowed from lithium ion technology. And in this one, this 40,000 farad capacitor batteries, it's both electrodes are lithium based, like in the lithium ion batteries, but capacitive, pseudo capacitive effect is very much enhanced by mixing the double layer theory with the lithium this thing. I think if you refer to Journal of Power Sources many articles, you will get all the details. I am the wrong person to give you answer. I don't know that side of the subject. I am not an electrochemist. But all that I see is within 2005 to 2018, there had been 13 times bigger supercapacitors coming. 40,000 versus 3,000. Have I answered you? I don't know.
Did you mention to him about the actual electrolyte material itself?
Actual electrolyte material is, there is acetonitrile and various other things, but other things, polycarbonate and all that is there. Actually, there is some amount of information. If you look at my 2015 Elsevier book on energy storage devices including supercapacitor applications, that gives you some development up to about 2013-14. After that, there was a lot of Journal of Power Source publications on these areas. So, but I am not the person who is mastering that area because I am a circuit designer. Actually, carbon nanotubes, graphene, all that is now coming into these devices.
There is some work in PIFR in chemical sciences. We work with them where they are looking at new materials for supercapacitors.
Yeah. Actually, this is why I was a bit interested in visiting here. Because I am not a device person, I am a circuits person, but there is a lot of opportunity for collaboration.
No, in fact, she should have come. Unfortunately, she didn't come here. She was marked. The last part of that was in the microgrids and so on. Since there is this in the power sector, firstly talking about the DC lighting, DC power, etc., you know, in the context of smart homes, smart.
Yeah, okay.
So I think you have incorporated somewhere, but I think it was a little fast. Surely I couldn't catch up.
Okay.
Can say a few words.
I can say a few words more. Yeah. Now, what happened was IEEE was getting very interested in DC microgrids, or microgrids basically, then they saw the value of DC. Actually, what happens is in practically all new white goods, internally you take 230 and convert it to DC, take a 325 volts bus, and then you put DC type compressors, so three phase compressors running from DC in a variable speed drive mode. Heat pumps, air conditioners, the same. So in these ones, all white goods, there is an internal DC bus. So now when you have solar populated on a roof, all what we do is you take DC in, convert AC to DC to AC, losing about 10% of the energy. So then when you pump that energy into a white good or lighting or whatever, then you convert AC back to DC. So there is about, you know, actually I was the vice chair of this IEEE DC Energy Efficiency Committee. We had about 22 international people working on this committee with Professor Rajendra Singh chairing the committee. In fact, Raj Singh got the Jewel of India Award last week here. He was in India. He's from Clemson University. He was the chairperson of this one. Rajendra Singh. He works for Clemson University. Actually, he was the chair, I was the deputy chair. We had about 20 more international people. So there what we found was this bulk generated AC electricity from nuclear power stations, hydro, thermal and all places, real usage in terms of light output or air conditioning output or heating output or motor drive output is only 40%. Almost 60% is wasted in transmission, distribution and then conversion inside our home office products. So then when you try to go into this DC microgrid capability, what happened was after this committee's report, IEEE Power Electronics Society approved the International Conference on DC Microgrids. First was held in Atlanta and then second was held in Germany. Actually, I was on the technical committee of those both. Then this biennial conference is now a regular conference of Power Electronics Society. Next one will be this year May in Japan. So actually I am trying to take the next 2021 to New Zealand. So actually what is happening is worldwide interest is DC grids. Actually in the last two conferences, Professor Ashok Junjunwala, right, from IIT Madras, he was the keynote speaker about Indian rural communities experience. So we expect him to be in that one. So there is lot of potential for supercapacity assisted lighting. Actually we have another technique which is just under development called SCAWG, supercapacity assisted white goods. So these are all where you don't go from DC to AC and AC to DC back, DC to DC back, and we put the capacitor bank in series with the white good or whatever to not to waste the energy. So by doing that we are trying to come up with totally unique set of things. So I know India, Sri Lanka like countries are very interested. If TIFR is doing these areas, we are very happy to work with you.
Yeah,
because we have only very small team of about 10 PhD students working with me in two universities. But I know India is a huge place for research.
Yeah, now this student woke up.
You mean DC to DC converter? First thing, all what you require in to any application in the house is up to 325 volts, 230 volts square root 2. If you take the normal LED lighting, there are two kinds, 230 direct fed one, internally it converts to 230 to DC and come down. But 12 volt LED lights are direct, right? So these things work with the positive or negative voltage, DC voltage from about 8 to 20 volts. So these things can be easily powered from a 24 volts DC bus coming.
DC bus, so it's too much.
Yeah, but you got to remember, now if you are talking of lot of transmission distribution long distances, it is not practical because of the high currents of low voltage DC. But within your house, you are going either direction, maybe maximum 50 meters, these things, then your loss is not that big. In fact, this is why the whole purpose of DC microgrid conference, if you can travel to this conference and present a paper, now too late to submit papers, conference is closed, but this conference will give you all these new developments of DC microgrid. One major barrier to DC microgrid is nothing the DC-DC converters, it is the DC circuit breakers. Because in AC circuits, you have two zero crossings to break the circuit, but in DC there is no zero crossing. So for that reason, there is a challenge. In fact, the newest project we are going to start is supercapacitor based DC circuit breakers. We don't know, we believe it is doable because these things can be charged or discharged even at 10,000 amperes. So we believe several thousand ampere circuit, DC circuit breakers are possible by this. In fact, we are applying for a grant at the moment, a competitive grant. So keep talking to us, right?
Or join them.
Okay.
I'm sure there will be very interesting conversation for one.
you are going to cast that metal piece to remove, right? So it's a part.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it did. I just kind of threw that. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. So Nihal would like to thank you for your very interesting and informative lecture with this nice book on the art collection. TFR is, has, as you would have seen, large number of arts collected by mostly our founders. So that's a book on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Actually, I am not a person who is good in art or anything in these areas. I am a silly technical guy. But this will be very much appreciated because I have two daughters. My elder daughter is an electronics engineer who completed the PhD recently. Her hobby is painting.
See,
so she will appreciate this.
Thank
you so much.
And
I would like to present this book to you with my autograph.
This
the one of the IET books. Today is 4th February 2019.
Thank you.